That was bad radio. You hear that? Oh, there we go. That one's a secret. I might actually now switch that out with another one just to see. That was Ancient Aliens off of Lemon Demon's album Spirit Phone.
And the first 2 seconds great, of...
and the first 2 seconds of Twist and Shout. Spirit Phone is an album that came out in 2016, and it's brilliant, and everyone should listen to it. It's a beautiful wonder of electronic music. And
written by local celebrity.
Written and performed by local celebrity Neil Cicerega. And it's finally getting a physical release for the first time in 2 years. It came out in 2016, and it's getting the physical release, like, I think by Halloween is the... Because the whole thing, it's very, like, macabre, like... like vintage horror movie, science fiction, horror based album. So by Halloween, they want to get all the physical copies out, which is cool. And it's going to have vinyl, cassette, CD, everything.
Hey,
it's
Zach,
great.
Who's yeah. Neil Cicerega?
Neil Cicerega.
Glad you asked.
Neil Cicerega is a local artist / celebrity. He invented the animutation. That you can't describe him as a person except by all of the things that he's done. Or you can't describe him as an artist other than just a laundry list of all of the art he's made. Potter Puppet Pals being the most famous, but like
Ultimate
Showdown of Ultimate Destiny is a Lemon Demon song that he wrote. Knife Fight is a Lemon Demon song that he wrote, which is great.
He's also part of
Mouth YouTube. Sounds, Mouth Moods, Mouth Silence,
which
are mashup albums.
Apparently Joe Jonas is a huge fan
did
of
you
never hear him
Mouth
tell
Sounds,
that story?
Mouth Silence, and Mouth Moods? No.
So, like, Joe Jonas was with his new band, DNC, or whatever it is now.
Yeah, whatever.
So, Joe Jonas is a huge fan of the newest one, Mouth Moods.
Mouth Moods. Mouth Moods is great.
So, Neil Cicerega and his wife were invited to hang out backstage with Joe Jonas and his new band.
Oh my gosh.
You've never heard that? They told it on their podcast.
No, I haven't listened to every episode of their podcast, but
well,
that's fabulous.
The podcast I'm referring to is Guaranteed Audio, which Neil Cicerega is a member of YouTube Trio.
Their trio, yeah.
Trio.
I've actually met...
Guaranteed Video.
Kevin of those three. I've never met Ryan.
I've told you before that Kevin is a friend of my cousin.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Kevin's cool.
Not to brag.
I'm sitting here with reoccurring guests, Chris Del Russo and Sean Freeman.
Hello.
Both of you say hi.
Band's back together,
guys,
boys.
Guys have any facts for the day? We haven't done facts of the day in a while.
Selfie time.
No, there are too many. Chris takes a lot of photos, dear readers. Chris takes a lot of photos.
I'm great with photos, man.
Facts of the day. Come on. You took your phone out, Sean, and then you hid it away. Sean now has a mustache. Have you always had a mustache?
Yeah, I've always had a mustache. No, I don't think it was as prominent as...
It's a little more prominent now, which is pretty solid.
Yeah, working
pretty
on
solid.
It. I want to go just mustache.
Do it.
Point.
Oh my God, yeah. Dude. I love the 70s. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing time. There was one day, I think it might have been a year or so ago, I took all of the playlists from the Astro Hour and found the dates where all of the songs are released for about the first 100 or so songs, just to see what the distribution was like in terms of where my music taste were for the show. 1979 was the mode year. You have a fact, Chris?
The Rosetta Stone is found in Egypt on this date in 1799.
Wow.
I've seen the Rosetta Stone.
It's a CD set, right?
Yeah. It's in the British Museum in London, which makes you realize, like, wow, the British really did steal
everything. Also, like, in 1870, France declared war on Prussia.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Prussia.
Whatever. I don't care about Prussia. I didn't even know Prussia was a country until I took AP Euro.
Lizzie Borden was born on this date in 1860.
Okay. That's fun. Wait, what? July 19th? Okay. Anything else?
George McGovern.
No, I clicked on a
wait, what about George McGovern?
He was born on this date in 1922.
Boo! I thought it would be like George McGovern accepted the nomination for president. Like,
Samuel Colt was born on this date in 1814.
Ooh, not a fan. Not a fan. These no guns. Just, no these, guns on this show.
These are just facts.
Just these. Boom. Dear readers, I am flexing.
What do you mean these are just facts?
It's nothing to do with the day.
Oh, that's dumb.
Pez comes from the German word for peppermint.
July 19th. Pez means peppermint.
Yeah.
On this date in 1941, Winston Churchill was the first to use the two-finger V is for victory sign.
I thought that meant peace.
No, this is peace. This is V is for victory.
No, but I do the peace like this. No, this means peace.
Oh, on this date in 1984, Geraldine Ferraro became the first woman nominated for the vice presidency.
That's
by
a good
major
one.
Political
We're
party.
Ending with that one. I love Geraldine.
Oh, and in 1993.
We're ending with that one.
Clinton announced Don't Ask, Don't Tell on this date in 1993.
I love Geraldine.
This day in history, Sean read this fact. Bones found at the Seymour Island indicate that 37 to 40 million years ago, penguins stood at a formidable 6 feet tall and weighed 250 pounds.
Clever. Part on Sean. Good job, Sean.
Thank you.
That was very clever. Geraldine, I need to talk about Geraldine Ferraro because she's amazing. If you ever, I've made it my goal to watch every televised presidential and vice presidential debate in America, which there aren't that many. 1960 was the first one, right? And Geraldine Ferraro's debate against Bush Senior in 1984, the vice presidential debate, mm-hmm. is one of the most fascinating displays of like institutional sexism you'll ever see. It's so fascinating. Like the first question she gets is like Congresswoman Ferraro, like your opponent has been head of the CIA, a congressman for like this many years, and has now served a full term as vice president. How do your two terms in Congress stack up? Is the real wow. question that she was given. And you're like, what is this? We're going to go into some music now.
My opponent is a liar and he cannot be trusted.
No.
My opponent is a liar.
Breakfast in cemetery. Boy tasting wild cherry. Touch girl, apple blossom, just a boy playing possum. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. The breadway. What is that cheerful sound? Rain falling on the ground. We'll wear a jolly crown. Buckle up, we're wayward bound. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. Then go a separate way. Your hem, you say. Let's stroll down Martin Way. Pick plums, abandoned farm. Who let norms come to harm? We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. Then go our separate ways. Cover me with rain. Walk me down the lane. I'll drink from your drain. We will never change. No matter what they rain. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. And go our separate ways. Cemetery, picnic on wild berries, French toast with molasses, croquet and baked Alaskas. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. Cover me with rain.
Wow, I'm just messing up the music today. I was originally gonna do more songs, but that one was a bit of a bummer, so I wanna hit up some energy with also this amazing piece of news I know. So what's my favorite podcast? Do either of you know my favorite podcast?
Oh,
I've said this before.
It's the one with Tommy Vietor.
No, it's not Pod Save America. It is Malcolm Gladwell's revisionist history.
Right, I've talked
about this many times.
Listen, do you think I'd listen to you?
There is and on the season finale, which came out today, he had a special guest star on because he's talking about Elvis. And this
he had Elvis on.
He had what? Elvis on the show. No, he had my favorite musician of all time, Jack White, come on to talk about Elvis and do an impromptu Elvis cover.
Wow.
On the show, if I wasn't on the radio for another 45 minutes, I would be listening to it right now. I'm going to listen to it immediately after the show ends. I suggest everyone else do this as well. It's a great podcast. Jack White's an amazing musician. Malcolm Gladwell is an amazing journalist. Both of you, get off your phones. Oh my gosh. That's it. Another song.
This time tomorrow, where will
That makes you also think of Ferris Bueller.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it makes
I love the dance scene in it when they're all dancing down the stairs. Hop.
I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about how the word Dankeschön reminds me of, or I guess the phrase Dankeschön reminds me of Ferris Bueller now. like just because it's such an iconic scene.
That movie is...
You've seen Ferris Bueller, right, Sean?
Yes, I have.
That movie is so
You're being
great.
Very silent. I was very...
I don't think I've seen it enough, because I don't remember.
So that's
Dankeschön,
the parade scene.
I remember the parade scene. No, I remember the twist and shout, just not the Dankeschön.
He sings Dankeschön before they sing twist and shout. Well, so he's lip-syncing to Dankeschön.
He's lip-syncing to both of them.
Yeah, but he's supposed to be singing that. Or no, I guess he's lip-syncing to both. You're right.
Yeah. Because I mean, he's not
like Matthew Broderick is actually lip syncing. It's like in the same way that Michael J. Fox was lip syncing to Johnny B. Goode in Back to the Future, even though his character is supposed to be singing it.
It's your cousin,
Marvin Barry.
Yeah. You know that new sound you're looking for? Well, listen to this.
Did I tell you my history with that joke?
No.
There was a period about 8 months ago at work where one day I just kept making that joke, but with different artists. So the one that stuck the most with me was like, hey, Eddie, it's your cousin, Dwight Van Halen. You know that sound you're looking for?
Dwight.
Listen to this. And then I'd start singing Panama.
I love that movie. Both of those
such a good joke.
Both of those movies are so good.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know if I'm alone in my own like thought of this. A lot of people think that sequels and stuff ruin a franchise. I don't think any of the Back to the Future movies are that bad.
I enjoyed them.
Yeah.
Number three isn't the best, but it's not terrible.
No, I would say like so I agree with you. None of them make the first one less enjoyable by any means, because the first one is still brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I would still say like the first one is like miles above the other ones, but
yeah,
I still think the other ones are fun, and they like they play with the concept of it being a sequel very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not dumb. Like
as standalone films, the second and the third, while not as good as the first one, still enjoyable movies.
Yeah. Like I really enjoy the first one's so good. I was in an airport the other day and I, for some reason, I kept saying to myself, no McFly ever amounted to anything in the history of Hill Valley. And then, like, saying to myself under my breath, well, history's about to change.
I love John Mulaney's whole bit about Back to the Future, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a good one.
This guy named Marty.
Well,
he's
okay.
Really lazy.
I do have a problem with it, though, because... The purpose of Back to the Future, like the way John Mulaney makes it sound in that joke, is that Marty McFly goes back in time with the sole purpose of trying to have sex with his mother, which is not the purpose. In fact, he spends the majority of the film trying to avoid that.
It's all over your underwear, Calvin.
Calvin Klein. He doesn't have a name in the future. In the second one, he doesn't have like a funny name, but in the third one, he starts going by John Wayne, which is awesome, right?
Clint Eastwood.
Oh, Clint Eastwood. Excuse me, not John Wayne.
Isn't he? Is he discovered at all in the second one though? Besides at the
no, well, when he's posing he pretends as his to be son. His yeah, he pretends Besides, to be his son, and then he pretends to be himself in the future.
I think that's why he doesn't have a funny name.
Yeah.
Because he's already exists in that timeline, whereas in the 50s and in the 18. Whatever it is.
1880s.
I couldn't remember.
Yeah, it's 1885. 80s. No, it's 1885.
So, whereas in 1885 or 1955, he doesn't exist. In 2015, he does exist, and he has a son who exists. So,
no McFly ever amounted to anything in the history of Hill Valley. History's about to change. So, such a good line. Such a good line, and it sets up the character motivation so well. But also... How does this... First of all, that's a very mean thing for a principal to say.
Yeah.
First of all.
It was the 80s.
Have you guys seen Love, Simon?
No.
First of all, it's the best like teen rom-com to come out so far this year.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's considered rom-com, but 8th grade is going to give it a run for its money.
Yeah, it's not a... Yeah, 8th grade is not a rom-com.
8th grade is going to give everything a run for its money. I think that movie is going to...
Yeah, it is. It's going to kill, but... Love, Simon is just a beautiful gay love story in high school, but the principal of, or I think he might be a vice principal, whatever. It's the same thing, honestly. Of the high school is played by Tony Hale. And he's the most accurate depiction of, like, a vice principal I've ever seen, like, in media. Because he's just, like, out there and he's like, hey, I'm going to take your phones away. And, hey, I'm trying to be positive. And, like, if you guys need anyone to talk to, I'm here. But, hey, don't do that. What you're doing.
And at, like, the school dance, he flips his tie over his shoulder like he's cool.
I don't even know if he did that, but he was very Tucci-esque, I suppose, is what I'm saying. I don't know if you can comment on that, Christopher, but... But it was a fascinating portrayal,
I loved it quite a bit. We all missed the 70s and the 80s where films could portray teachers as being able to say whatever the hell they wanted to kids. Like, you're not going to amount to anything.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
No. Or you'd want to.
The most adorable, like, almost gut-wrenching scene of the whole film. So the main character gets outed, right? Mm-hmm. And is, like, completely embarrassed about it and whatnot. And, like, the next day, like, he's showing up for work and, like, the vice principal is, like, quiet and, like, in the same place, but he's wearing, like, a little rainbow flag pin, like, on his lapel, and it's the cutest thing.
Well, I mean, I've been watching a lot of The Simpsons recently, just talking about, school and, like, the portrayal mm-hmm. of teachers and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching season 2, they had the episode Bart Gets an F. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of The Simpsons
I've seen parts of that episode, but that episode, it bummed me out, so I just stopped watching it.
But it is kind of a bummer episode because it sort of perfectly portrays kids with, like, the inability to focus and learn in classes. Yeah, yeah. Like, Bart, there's one scene where he's in his basement trying to study while everybody's outside having fun on a snow day,
mm-hmm.
and, like, he can't concentrate, and he has this imagination, like, this scene in his head where he's part of the Continental Congress, and all of the founding fathers are like, hey, it's snowing, and they run out. He's like, starts slapping himself, and you're like, concentrate, man. Do you want to be held back? Concentrate. And it's sort of sad,
mm-hmm.
but also, like I said, the depiction of, like, even into the early 90s of teachers, like, Mrs. Krabappel fails him on the last mm-hmm. test. She's like, ugh, another year. It's going to be hell.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Bart breaks down. He's like, I really tried this time, and I'm still not good enough to pass.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
Yeah.
Teacher.
But then he's like, so at one point in the scene, he's like, now I know how George Washington felt in 1754 when he surrendered Fort Necessity to the French. And she's like, what? He's like, you know, Fort Necessity, 1754. She's like, you just displayed applied knowledge. And based on the obscurity and absolute unrelatedness to the topic, I'm forced to give you an extra point. And he passes with a 60. It is one of the best scenes in terms of showing, like,
I've heard that's, like, the best episode of The Simpsons.
In school. It's one of the best. I mean, there are so many good ones.
But we're going to play a song now.
That sounds good.
Song.
Here is Roadrunner Thrice, the fourth recording of Roadrunner that I can find on the internet.
Wait, Roadrunner Thrice?
Roadrunner Thrice.
Like, but it's the fourth.
So the first recording of Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers' Roadrunner is called Roadrunner. Huh. Then there's another one called Roadrunner Once. Then there was another one that was released as a single called Roadrunner Twice. And this one was released as a B-side to a single because it's a live cover called Roadrunner Thrice.
Cool.
One, two, three, four, five, six. Roadrunner, Roadrunner. Going faster miles an hour. Gonna drive past the stop and shop on a cold winter night to feel in touch with the modern world. Not feel so lonely in the cold night. Not feel so lonely when it's late at night. And have the radio on and be like a roadrunner. Now I'm in love with my own loneliness. It doesn't bother me to feel so alone. At least I'm not staying alone at home. I'm out exploring the modern world by the pine trees and the Howard Johnsons on Route 128 when it's late at night. Well, we're heading from the North Shore to the South Shore. Well, I see Route 3 in my sight and I'm a roadrunner. Spirit of 1956,
patient in the bushes next to 57. The highway's my only curve for an hour. I drive by so quick in suburban tree. And so it spells that like Kevin. Say, Roadrunner once, Roadrunner twice. I'm in love with this feeling now. And I'll be out on that. I'm a Roadrunner. Got the. That's right, I got the AM. I got the AM, I got the power. And I feel in touch with the world. As I drive by in the dark. Let's go down Route 120. Outside, it's cold. Put my hand outside the window, roll it down. My hand's cold already. Well, I can see Boston now. I can see the Prudential Tower with the little red light blinking on in the dark. I'm by Quincy now. I can see Deer Island. I can see the whole Boston Harbor from where I am. Out on the rocks by Cohasset in the night. And I'm in love with the land where I grew up. And I'm in love. Well, you might say I feel lonely, but I wouldn't say I feel lonely. I would say that I feel alive all alone. 'Cause I like feeling of roaming around in the dark. And even though I'm alone out there, I don't mind, 'cause I'm in love with the world. And I'm hypnotized. I'm get back in the car. And the rhythm of the engine hypnotizes. I've been driving for 45 minutes. I've been driving for 2 hours. I've been driving for 2.5 hours. But I'm hypnotized. Now here I am in Western Massachusetts now, on Interstate 90. The Mass Pike, in other words. Heading out to Amherst and South Greenfield. Where the college out there just rises in the middle of nothing. You just got
fields of snow, and all of a sudden there's these modern buildings right in the middle of nothing, under the stars. Well, Roadrunner, Roadrunner, going faster miles an hour, gonna drive by some Stop and Shop with the radio on for company, to feel in touch with the modern world. In Massachusetts when it's late at night, I love the neon when it's cold outside, but I don't feel so alone because I feel like a Roadrunner. Now will you help me, man? Radio. I got the AM. Radio. I got the power, I got the magic. Radio. I'm in love, I'm in love. Radio. But I've been rocking modern love. Radio. I'm in love with the world. Radio. I'm alone, but I'm in love. Radio. I'm in love with this feeling when it's Radio. Late at night. I'm in love with Massachusetts when it's cold Radio. Outside. Believe me now, believe me now.
And we'll cut that off real quick just there, so that's a great song. It's a long song.
So we don't get in trouble.
I was a big fan of it. I believe, Chris, you have a, song. Or not Chris. Sean,
I don't
I'm
have
so
a
sorry,
PSA
song.
To read.
Sean,
I don't have a message for you guys, but Sean
you know,
does.
Like, what is your message for us, Sean? The message that you are about to read.
You should play the message.
Right now.
Summer is a super time.
Continue.
To cook. So many tasty kinds of food, including vegetables on an outdoor barbecue, but some of the worst fires ever in Somerville and Medford, as well as other urban areas, have been caused by grills left unattended on porches. Always move a grill at least 10 feet from any building before lighting it. Don't even think about using it on the porch, and never, ever, ever leave it a lit or smoldering grill unattended. If you observe smoke coming from a porch or a building, call 911. If you see people grilling on a porch, call the fire department. You are not being a cranky neighbor, you're a concerned neighbor.
Great.
I just love the pause. Summer is a super time. Yeah, yeah, it is.
Well, I played enough of that I'm going to have to log it. There we go. James Taylor, Fire and Rain.
Well, how much do you have to do?
I think once you play more than like 10 seconds, you got to do whatever, there we go. There's James Taylor.
There's your royalties, James Taylor.
You're welcome. Yeah, James.
James Taylor.
Sweet baby James.
We're calling you out.
You're listening.
As a callback.
James Taylor, come on this show, debate us. Same with Howie Carr.
Howie Carr.
Bill Evans.
Boston Chief of Police Bill Evans.
And slash supposed pianist.
Slash
jazz pianist.
Slash former jazz pianist Bill Evans.
I feel like we got in trouble for that one.
We didn't get in trouble for that one. No, we had the cop call in. Yeah, and he wanted to make fun of Bill Evans.
Yeah, it was great.
Here's the thing. I have the utmost respect for Bill Evans. I think Bill Evans has a very tough job. being police commissioner of Boston must not be easy.
I thought you were doing like a Bill Belichick impression real day. You got really low and really
good. No, I hate football, Chris.
I mean,
here's the thing: I love New England sports a lot, or I don't love New England sports. I have pride for New England sports, and I love the fact that everyone hates the Patriots except for people here. So that makes me kind of love the Patriots. But also, football messes up people's brains real bad.
Not according to some guy named Larry Fedora. He's a UNC football coach who said that football is key to like America's backbone and doesn't cause head injuries.
Football messes up people's brains to the point where they can no longer like understand their daily lives, and oftentimes leads them to kill themselves. And it's terrible, and no one should be allowed to play it, as it currently stands with like current safety standards.
Yeah, it's in Seattle.
Football.
Tom is a great quarterback.
We're lobotomizing the boys of America for a game. Anyway, sorry, that's the most preachy I think you'll ever see me. Is how dumb I think football is.
I don't know.
Is.
I've seen you get preachier.
I can get kind of. Well, here's the thing: I'm very worried about being preachy with the elephant in the room being my vegetarian thing. I'm always very worried about being a preachy.
Called you an elephant, Chris.
Yeah, I'm always.
Wow.
I'm always very worried about being a preachy vegetarian.
But I don't think being called an elephant is the right.
So here's the thing, readers at home: is Chris has a very attractive face.
Thanks.
Right. He just needs to like
great
he
personality.
Could, Chris is so nice close. Chris is so close to like a 9, right? But he's at like an 8, and he could be a 9. Give him some motivation. Tweet at the Astro Hour to give Chris some motivation.
Or, as Zach said he would a couple weeks ago, nominate me for Queer Eye, apparently.
I mean, so I thought that was a little crazy when, like, last week when Queer Eye was only in Georgia, but now they're moving to Kansas City, and I'm like, you know, maybe we could nominate Chris. This is a thing we could do.
Move out to Kansas City?
Yeah. Yeah. Move out. Well, no, but point being is now they're moving, right?
Yeah.
Like, I thought the whole show would just be in Georgia. And now it's not. Now it's across the country. So I'm like, oh, now it's opened up to you, Chris.
Chris has too many like,
buttons. You've got a chance here.
What are they going to do?
You need Karamo to open up your emotions.
I need floral
have you
printed shirts.
Watched?
Yeah.
It's an emotional
I've
makeover,
seen it. I've seen
John.
It. But
you just, know this. It's
just,
about
no,
emotions.
No, but I'm saying, what more can they do to him? He has too many button downs already.
I just need some floral.
He doesn't have a lot of
they can buy no
shirts.
More.
You do realize they would throw away all of your Hawaiian shirts, right? Tan would get rid of them. He'd replace them with more
That's
subtle
no
prints.
Helping him! Fraser Gray!
He would replace them with more subtle patterns. That is true.
Floral.
I don't know what Jonathan would do for you, but
he'd probably like
I think he'd shave
he'd
your beard.
Not shave it.
No, I think he'd shave your beard.
I just too round of a face.
I think you'd want to experiment. I don't know. I don't know what Jonathan would do.
What would Anthony do besides like decapitate me and eat me?
I don't know.
Like
how's
a
your
cannibal?
Eating? How's your eating?
Not great.
There you go. And Anthony can help with that.
He'd teach me how to make grapefruit.
What's
and
your drink of choice?
Salad.
What's your drink of choice, Chris?
Water.
Because remember, he's food and wine. He's food and wine.
Water.
So he might be able to culture up your drinking. I don't know. We're gonna go into music. Whatever.
So the point is. Zach's going to nominate me for Queer Eye.
I'm going to nominate Chris for Queer Eye. Here we go. He needs Karamo to open him up. He's going up. There we go.
In the back seat of my heart, my love tells me I'm a mess. They're in the mess. Comes and goes in plateaus. 1 month later, I'm a pro. My parents would be proud. Or fall asleep on the floor. Forget what happened in the morning. There are notes in your handwriting, but you can't make it up. Not a proud race. It's not a race at all. We're just trying. I'm only trying to get home. Drunk drivers. This is not a good thing. I don't mean to rationalize or try and explain it away. It's not okay, drunk drivers. It's too late to articulate it. An empty feeling. You share the same fate as the people you pay. that it was all so easily stripped away. But if we learn how to live like this, maybe we can learn how to start again. Like a child who's never done wrong, who hasn't taken that first step. We are not a proud race, it's not a race at all. We're just trying, I'm only trying to get home. Drunk drivers, put it out of your mind. Perish the thought, there's no comfort in responsibility. Drunk drivers, it doesn't have to be like this. It doesn't have to be like this. It doesn't have to be like this. Kill the whales, kill the whales. It doesn't have to be like this. It doesn't have to be like this. It doesn't have to be like this. Kill the whales, kill the whales. Use that voice in your head, giving you shit again. But you know he loves you, and he doesn't mean to cause you pain. Please listen to him, it's not too late. Turn off the engine, get out of the car and start to walk. Drunk drivers. It doesn't have to be like this. It doesn't have to be like this. It doesn't have to be like this. Kill the whales, kill the whales. It doesn't have to be like this. It doesn't have to be like this. It doesn't have to be like this. Kill the whales, kill the whales.
Ride's over, I know. pastel colors by the rail on a windy day at Pimlico. Don't want to write songs with this clown they set me up with in a Los Angeles rehearsal studio. Not gonna tour with Trent Reznor, third of three, bottom of the bill. You can't pay me to make that kind of music. Not gonna swallow that pill. The ride's over.
Like the Mountain Goats,
they have a whole like wrestling themed album,
yeah,
which is I enjoy. They have a song, The Legend of Chavo Guerrero,
mm-hmm.
which is
it's one of their
a wonderful song.
One of their more popular ones, yeah, it's a good one.
That whole album is that's what's called Body Slam is one of mm-hmm. the actual.
They've got like, a lot. They've got yeah. a lot of stuff. yeah.
yeah,
this one's from their latest album, Goths, which is great. Yeah. It has another good song on it called Wear Black that I'm not gonna play.
I've
stuck in my head all day yesterday.
I've never really like listened to them extensively beyond that album, yeah. like the wrestling concept album.
You absorb anything wrestling, Chris.
It is the highest form of art.
Wow. Do you guys have any last words on the show? Sean, you haven't spoken that much on the show. Come on. Give me some hot takes.
Hot takes. I touched a satellite last week.
Is this the satellite you are building?
No. It's a satellite that's already been in space, and I got to poke it.
Wait, how did it get back?
So it's from a mission called Picture, and basically they sent a rocket up, and it like went high enough into space where it was able to just like orbit for 4 minutes, and then mm-hmm. it falls back down.
Oh, wow. And it didn't burn up?
It did not. It's,
how?
I don't know, because it's big.
Great. Oh, okay, it's big.
Yeah, no, it's a real satellite.
Where did it land?
Yeah, somewhere in the desert in New Mexico. And they recovered it, and they brought it back. And
oh, awesome.
I think they're planning on sending it back up again
to do
some more stuff.
Did it have the barbecue smell that space has? Have you not heard of this?
I'm sure that it would. This is,
so
it's contaminated.
Yeah, it's contaminated. This thing did not go to space. No, have you heard of this?
That it like smells when, like barbecue in space?
So astronauts will report that when they go out to do a spacewalk and they come back and they repressurize the airlock, that the airlock always has kind of like a barbecue taste to it, or smell to it, which is kind of like, it's because like the vacuum of space like kind of pulling the metals out of the actual metal like interior of the thing.
No, so space tastes mean, like barbecue.
What does it mean
so
like you get barbecue? Like
that kind of,
or
that kind of irony taste.
Oh, yeah.
You know? You know, that you'll get, like, some from, like...
Say it tastes like charcoal? Does it taste like propane?
Yeah, no. It tastes like kind of meaty, you know? That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Like, very irony.
Huh.
That's fascinating. I'm glad you got to touch a satellite.
Now. Yeah. Yeah, it was fun.
And you poked it.
I want to poke a satellite.
Yeah, well, I mean, I poked it at first, and, you know, and then I touched it some more. Because it was kind of cool.
How's the Skyhawk coming along? You've got 5 seconds
Space
to say
Hawk.
Space Hawk.
Pretty good. We're doing progress. Good things.
That's great.
Structures team lead now.
That's exciting. What?
Yeah, I'm in charge of structures.
Amazing. And it's still going to get launched from the ISS?
Yes.
Whoa.
Insane.
You and I got to talk.
If there are American astronauts on the ISS. Something I care about a lot, but we got to play a song. Thank you for listening to the Astro Hour. Stay tuned for Strike the Box next. It's a great show. It's coming up. Thank you guys for coming on the show. Congrats. I've been Zach Going.
Sean Freeman.
Chris Del Russo. Yeah, that's my name.
Good job.
Thanks.
Stay tuned next week.
Interrupted our normal program to cooperate in security and civil defense measures as requested by the United States government. This is an emergency broadcast.